good spiritual move to be on the board.
And Gary, where's Gary? Helped out quite a bit too. Yeah, oh, he's back on the couch. You'll see him dancing later on. So my name is Maren Van Ostrand, and Byron Ricks and I are co-hosting the show for you this evening. And we live in town on the other side in another building that's about 100 years old. And we would like you to be as comfortable as possible this evening. So if you want to move your chairs around, that's fine. Now would be a good time to do it. I would like you to know that there's going to be dancing here. So if you're in the front row, you are automatically signed up to dance because you're going to have to get up anyway to move your chair. That's cruel, isn't it?
And when something else, or suggestion over here from John. So if you can give me a glass of water at some point, maybe I can do a little dive.
Oh, yeah.
At some point.
Yeah.
And I don't, there's one coming. I don't think the owl is in tonight. This, there is an owl that lives here. And I think flies over actually to our yard, perhaps, on the other edge of town. We saw a large owl just about 2 weeks ago. Julia was right there under the tree. I don't know if I can fit into that. Oh, we have quite a challenge. So yeah, coming up. Stay around for that.
If you've got some young children here, feel free to go upstairs, and there's a restroom up there for all ages. but if you need a crying room type of space, you
all ages,
that.
But not all heights.
And read the instructions when you're using the bathroom, please. and I'm serious. Okay, we are in a landmark. This is a national landmark structure. And Byron and I actually used to live here, and I have a little story about life incarnation for you. After we have our young artist come up on stage, I would like to welcome Mary Ward. Mary Ward has been performing like crazy. She just can't stop. And so I just couldn't hold her back. She just had to play today. And so I would like to bring her up here, and then afterward, maybe if you have any questions about how she got so good, you can ask those questions then. Let's give her a round of applause, Mary Ward.
As the sky turns gloomy, the night winds whisper to me, lonesome.
And why are you calling? She wants to offer her services. She's an artist, a painter in France. And you're calling to wish us a happy birthday to the barn, right? Great to hear from you. Thank you. Bonjour.
A
bientôt. A bientôt? Au revoir. Wow, that was cool. Okay. Sorry for that interruption. Okay. So Mary's 11, and she has not been playing guitar as long as I've known her. When did you start that? Year and a half, that's it. You play any other instruments?
Saxophone, piano, guitar, a violin, and...
Is that it? Let's get busy. And I also heard that you were, actually at the science fair, I saw you at a demonstration on something about the voice, or you learned a lot being in this a girls' choir, is that right?
Yeah, I was in Columbia Choir, and my project was on,
Pitch, or?
Voice range, and it was people that did from my Columbia choirs.
Okay. Well, thanks a lot, Mary. It was great to have you. So, usually I speak spontaneously only during these shows, but I just wrote a little something for you this evening. It's my life incarnation, and I'm going to read it for you. Byron and I moved to Carnation in 1996 after paddling from Alaska to Seattle. It was a five-month journey on the ocean coast, and we just couldn't get ourselves to return to the city where all of our stuff was. We needed something quieter, so we came here and moved into that house here on the farm. And that was the start of something entirely different. A genuine agricultural, rural, pedestrian, riverside community. That decision has enriched our lives. We allowed ourselves to slow down into a real pedestrian small town life, surrounded by fresh North Cascades air. Very often I will take a day to really experience Carnation. And this is what it can be like, and I'm not kidding you. This is real. I awake early to a quiet morning and walk out into the September mist and look up, knowing the sun will burn through about noon. I hear coyotes yelping up on the eastern ridge. I reach into the garden made delicious with our rich valley soil and pick chives and tomatoes. I did get them this year, finally. For the morning omelet, or a morning omelet. Back inside after breakfast, Julia heads to school just around the corner. I watch her go, feeling lucky that she is confident enough, knowing the way and the people. I treat myself to a walk through town with errands. I only need to zigzag down the street from shop to take care of them all, free of my car. It turns out to be a laid-back social morning, but I can make it from one end to the other in 20 minutes with no stops. Sadie, I say to the fluffy little dog of my neighbor Carol in their flower garden. I stop by Sandy's Espresso for a hot Earl Grey with steamed soy. Soy. Oops, sorry, Carnation. They do allow that in the borders. And I see Scotty, my neighbor, from across the street, helping out in the espresso kitchen, washing out a blender. On to the bank, 100 yards away, probably, give or take. I confirm with one of our favorite tellers there, who's been helping us for a while. She proofreads and faxes our home refinance to the bank headquarters. To celebrate, I stopped by the gorgeous stone church to check in with Pastor Stephen. He always has news about how people in town are doing and what the next project is going to be, like Habitat for Humanity or some other community service that the church is up to. I grab a small bag of cat food just down the street from the brothers at Ace Hardware and throw it in my pack. And then I stop off at Miller's Arts and Community Center to ask our Mayor Lee Grumman about how the Shoreline Master Program is doing. Wow, that's fun. It's doing a lot of good work now, and there's a meeting on Tuesday night. Be there. Then, the shoreline is right here, by the way. It's a really important plan. I mean, it's right there. Sometimes it's really close, too. Then I go on to the post office, only two blocks away. See, everything's so close. Kim, who knows me and my box number by memory, sees me walk in with my pink slip and doesn't even glance at it before she's reaching for the shelf for my package. 1 minute back on Main Street, I slip into the barber shop. This is true. since Luda had a cancellation, and then finally make it to QFC where Laura, Tracy, and all the others are there to say hello. To top it all off, if it's a Tuesday, okay, so I can get a lot of business and socializing done at the farmer's market. Most any food that I would need to make a week's meal of is right there, even bread and eggs. Then I can spontaneously decide to stop for dinner with one of the merchants and say hi to my friends like Jennifer and Toby, Claire, Eden, Judy West, Brian and Shirley, Kimberly Gallagher, Simone Oliver, the list goes on and on. Sitting there on the lawn and listening to excellent musicians such as Brian Booth, who we'll hear later this evening. The only thing I don't always have time to do is stop by and say hi to Roger. That always takes a little bit of extra time because he's so fascinating and always has a lot to say. If I don't catch him at the market, which I oftentimes do, and then boom, bullseye, I may stop off and talk to him. Once we start up a conversation, it's just lots of fun. Yet a quick visit doesn't hurt any, and so yes, sometimes I do go on and walk that gorgeous loop, say hi to Roger. I can do the new trail that goes past the brewery in town. You all know what that is, right? That gorgeous building that's actually our new sewer facility. Or, it looks like a brewery, I'm serious, and it is. Or you can go this way on the new trail and loop all the way back. So now we have all these loops going around Carnation, and you can just walk all day and, you know, no traffic, completely happy on your feet or bike. So, or I could decide to bike all the way to Monroe on the trail, or I could go all the way to Snoqualmie Falls, and if I really want to, I could go over to the other side of the mountains, on the mountains to Sound Greenway. So I just want to say this is a fantastic town, and I'm very excited to live here. Let's have a round of applause for Carnation. All you people who come here and live here make it a fantastic place. So, speaking of Brian Booth and the market, I met him there, and I just knew right away he had to come to the next Sound Falls, and he called back and said, hey, what is the Sound Falls all about? And so I would like to bring him up on stage, and we'll go from there. Where is he? There he is. Yay!
So some of you might have noticed as you turned off the highway and into the entry to the farm here that the character of your surroundings changed right away when you did that. One of the reasons why is because you turned off of pavement onto gravel. And that's what this song is about, a song that I wrote, and it's called Driving on a Dirt Road. got a grip on the stick of a V6 pickup, got my gear loaded in the bed. This truck creaks and rattles, I should be heading to work, but I'm out here instead. It don't matter though, I'm driving down a dirt road. I'm looking where I've been in the rear view, see the dust flying up in the air. My worries are left behind me, it's slow going, but I don't care. Seems the only time I get where I want to go. Throttle wide open and feel that so-called thrill of the open road. All but surrounded by pavement in every direction. There'd be no worthwhile destination any direction I go. Tire ruts and weeds growing down the middle. The smell of pine trees on the breeze reminds me of home just a little. Seems the only time I get where I want to go. This is another song, another original. It's a true story, but didn't happen to me. And this does not take place on a dirt road. This definitely takes place on pavement. And it's called Grandma Leadfoot. You're welcome to sing along if you can figure out the words to sing along with. Up in North Dakota, down on the farm, lives a gray-haired school marm. She's got horn-rimmed glasses, hair in a bun. Innocent enough doesn't mean no harm, but she's queen of the highway. She is the boss in the Plymouth Fury with dual exhaust. She steps on the gas, never gives a second thought about radar guns or Sheriff McGraw. And it's another ticket for Grandma Leadfoot. It's another ticket for Grandma Leadfoot. Well, a car speeds by, the sheriff knows it's her, even though the license plate flashes by in a blur. See, she don't know her speed. When she drives, her speedometer needle stuck on 105, and it's another ticket for Grandma Leadfoot. It's another ticket for Grandma Leadfoot. Hey, 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 now. Sheriff writes the ticket, but he's lost all hope. It's a routine that started long ago with a squeal of tires, a cloud of smoke, and a spray of gravel. She's back on the road, even another ticket for Grandma Lynn. It's another ticket for Grandma Lynn. It's another ticket for Grandma Lynn. It's another ticket for Grandma Lynn. Well, I had a request to play my song, Old Barns, just because of the uniqueness of this evening. And it's a song about barns. It's not a song about this type of barn that's been so well taken care of and restored with so much work put into it, but it's more about other barns that are falling into decay and rapidly disappearing from our landscapes. But it's a tribute to barns, nonetheless. Sun, like desert reptiles, all weather beaten and worn from many a winter, and yawning for sympathy, helpless dinosaurs, old barns. Monuments to the Midwest, they go unnoticed, storing more knowledge of life than all the sunken ships can tell. Stories of birth, stories of childhood and work, they're all stashed up. Unused, forgotten ones who all know their days are numbered, and missing planks form toothless grins, fragile skeletons, old barns. But in a quick Nebraska storm, nothing could shelter me from harm quite as well as an old barn. Moving on, what you have to do from time to time. It's called Yard Sale.
I
on Memphis. You're headed back to Wichita. What do you say? Let's unload this junk before we untie the knot. Yard sale, hey everyone, Saturday night. Come on, get yourself a deal on some fine china. Yard sale, turn right on Oak Street, straight ahead. Who's gonna make a good home for a king-size bed? King-size bed, memories abound. Who wants to go all through life dragging that around? It'd be like a ball and chain tied to the past. What you say? Let's break away. When you gonna get a better chance? Yard sale, come on Saturday night. Get yourself a deal on. Now some folks say we're crazy ditching all these prized possessions. They don't get the picture, it's all these memories we're selling. Tell all the neighbors, and I'll put up the signs that say yard sale Saturday night. Get yourself a deal on some fine china. Yard sale, turn right on Oak Street, straight ahead. Who's gonna make a good home for a king size bed? Yeah, we got a love seat, a wine rack, torchier and a nightstand, all treated with love and care, at least the rest we had. Yard sale, everything must go, mint condition items from a broken home. Yard sale, come on Saturday night, get yourself a deal on some fine china. Yard sale, right on Oak Street, straight ahead. Who's gonna make a good home for a king-sized bed? Thank you very much.
Yeah, so how do I get a CD? Really? Don't you have a recording?
Yes.
How can I get a recording?
Just see me right after the show. I got
purple. You do?
Box.
Oh my goodness.
In the purple box.
Hey, in the purple box. Oh, we have a question from the audience.
I have a question. How many CDs do you have?
I have three CDs.
Three?
Three to choose from, right? Three to choose from.
That's right.
Choose from. Yeah. And how many instruments do you play on those CDs?
How many instruments do you play?
I think it's a total of 12. Anyway, I played all the instruments and did all the singing on all the CDs.
Whoa.
So that's
wow, that's magic. So one last question before you go. How do you come up with those great lyrics, and do you think of it with the music, or is what comes first? How do you do that?
Yeah,
or is it not all the same?
Well,
yeah.
Usually it's the music.
The music comes first.
Yeah, the music comes
first. Okay.
Easy.
Everybody's
can,
different.
Yeah, if I can figure out words that fit with the music, then it's pretty quick.
All right. That's great. I love it. One more round of applause. I'd like to introduce Byron Ricks reading the fall booklet.
right. School is back in session, and well, I was going to say it's getting cooler and cloudier, but today turned that one around. Thankfully, we have a day of summer coming this fall. It was beautiful out there today, wasn't it? It's nice. I like that. But of course, the fall brings the fall reading list at the Carnation Library, our new library here in town, down at the other end, across from the Old Stone Church. And so it's always a pleasure to go in there and see what's been sorted out on the shelves. And these are, of course, official things that everyone should read. And I know a lot of the kids at school are taking a look at a few of these. So I want to check out this one because I've been out a little bit more, trying to wring the last daylight days out here to the outside. Pick up the Field Guide to Dental Instruments. Should be pretty handy. There's a new, you know, being that we're in Western Washington, a lot of tech industries right here, it's kind of a buzz. Of course, we're that potentially texting away and whatnot. The cool one on Twitter, it's called Twitter in as many words. A neat thing, I don't know if you're fans of philosophy, but they found a book by Immanuel Kant, and it's called Never Say Can't by Kant. Interesting one. Spinal Frontiers, Higher Learning and Lower Back Pain. Listen, I always like the self-help books because I need a lot of help. So here's one I picked up myself. How to Influence Friends and Win. And of course, for the probably maybe some high school students, but those taking advanced classes at the community college or perhaps in college. The new edition of Clinical Anatomy, that's now in soft cover. And Give Me Patience Now. There's another one I'm going to check out. Hygiene for Teens, Theory and Practice. There's the Maple Teriyaki Turkey Salmon Septic Sisters, which is a real nurturing piece about all these crazy sisters who had a telephone network with BA cans and twine and talked around town and they kept doing it to adulthood. I'm Okay, You're a Disaster. The 8 Highly Effective Habits of Being. The Eat Free Diet. That's pretty good. And of course, the one that seems to always be over there when I get to the library is You Can Refuse to Change Your Life. So, self-help books this month here at Carnation Library. Always good to get some of those. Julia in the Wings at all, or am I going to take this one on? I'll take this one on. There's another interesting read, kind of reminiscent of summer, but good to have on a hot day like this. Fall is planting season, of course. I'm going to get some more trees in the ground. I've planted about 88 so far over the years.
No,
188 over the years. And it is definitely a time to think about plants and those that live and perish during the growing season. So I'll bring Todd Powell up, and he'll do a little more on that theme.
While we're setting up...
We worked on like last Saturday.
You know, a lot of time went into that. Just curious if anybody here works in the King County Noxious Weed Program. Or if you know anybody.
I applied for a job there once.
Did you get it? NIMBY weeds. We knew about the policeman's helmet for 8 years without knowing it by name. The Star Trek plant, we called it, because it looked like it had come from another galaxy. Stocky, towering, growing taller than the garage door, its hollow tubular stems emitted a low, jug-like woo whenever you broke one by hand or foot. Its flowers were pink, and they returned every year. But we didn't know them by name. And so when a neighbor told us she hated to be the bearer of bad news about the policeman's helmet, a troubling tableau came to mind. Had there been some bizarre accident involving a motorcycle cop? I imagined a white helmet bounding down the road and rolling into the bushes, and the neighbors seeing it on our side of the fence, and my wife and I bearing the responsibility of returning the helmet to the authorities. The neighbor had two pamphlets that corrected such foolishness. The county came by recently, she said. They saw all these plants growing in our yard and said they were noxious weeds. And I was down by the horse barn where I could see a big sea of pink in your yard. And I thought you'd want to know. Sorry. What was there to be sorry about? She was doing the neighborly thing, giving a heads up on the noxious weed patrol, the plant police, which almost brought my scenario full circle. This really did involve the authorities. But instead of returning one policeman's helmet, we had to remove thousands of them. We called them the alien plant, the neighbor said, and my wife and I dutifully nodded. And then she handed us the pamphlets. One was the county's noxious weed list, with an octagonally framed photograph of a barbarian thistle and the caption, "Stop the invaders." There were various classes of noxiousness, from A to B, to C, to non-regulated, to weeds of concern. And the common names range from the zoological, buffalo burr, goat's rue, camel thorn, to the utterly mundane, blackberry, buttercup, lawn weed. Altogether, more than 130 plants were listed, with one in bold, absinthe wormwood, which had been upgraded from the non-regulated to the Class C list, becoming more lethal by the year. I scanned the list for policeman's helmet, which so far had committed only a Class B weed felony. They told us we had to pull it out, our neighbor said. And if we didn't do it, they'd bring in a crew and make us pay for it. Pulling was no problem. I'd done so numerous times while walking past a clump because it was kind of fun. The roots were shallow, and the long, rigid stems made it possible to lob them a good 15 feet or so, like some kind of prehistoric plant bomb. I looked down at the other sheet she handed us, which said the policeman's helmet, originally from northern India, was brought to the States from England as a garden ornamental. If the plant is in seed, the pamphlet explained, carefully place a plastic bag around the entire flower head cluster to prevent the seed from escaping. Cut off the flower head and put the bag in the regular trash. We did not have thousands of plastic bags. And besides, most of those weeds on our property were poking up between blackberry vines, and the thought of bagging and beheading every single flower cluster seemed an onerous and prickly task at best. So I had no choice. I grabbed my machete. Now, there are times in life when the rush of urgency displaces the fear of pain. It doesn't happen often to me, but nonetheless, one of those moments had arrived. It was a summer evening, after all, and the mosquitoes were out. Not only that, but I had already seen blackberry vines as thick as a ship's rope in that area, with thorns that could pop a tire. And it was hot. I was wearing shorts and a t-shirt, but there was no time to change into battle gear. So I stepped down the hillside, machete in hand. And it was not difficult to summon a few kindred spirits. Saint George slaying the dragon. Prince Charming storming the thickening vines of Queen Maleficent's castle. Luke Skywalker destroying the Death Star. And I chopped and chopped, swinging my blade into vine and branch alike, stem and stalk, riding high and dropping to the ground, and becoming entangled in yet another clump of blackberries and morning glory and long since discarded tree boughs. I clear a section, and just when I thought I had it licked, I'd see more pink flowers, their five parted petals supposedly resembling an English Bobby's helmet, their seeds remaining viable for up to 18 months. Oh, the viability of those seeds. I looked and looked through the gloom of dusk, only to see yet another dot of pink standing 8 feet in the air beneath the shadows of the cottonwoods. I looked, rubbing my eyes, making sure those weren't blackberry flowers instead, then tromped a little farther into the quagmire until I was waist deep in vines and the mosquitoes were ringing in my ears. Make no mistake, I bear no grudge against the King County Noxious Weed Program. For according to the list, noxious weeds are non-native plants that are highly destructive, competitive, difficult to control and eliminate. Such programs are necessary, no doubt. And even though I enjoy my share of blackberries on oatmeal and ice cream, I do consider their vines to be evil and carnivorous. Too much blood have I sacrificed to the leg and arm-seeking brain stems that inhabit them. And Lord knows, all that Russian knapweed must go, not to mention the Syrian bean caper, the Brazilian Elodia, the Austrian fieldcress, the Canada thistle, the Spanish broom, the English ivy, the Eurasian watermill foil, and the Japanese Himalayan and Bohemian knotweed. But one has to wonder if there is not enough room for Texas blueweed in this great country of ours. Or what about the Pittsburgh cultivar of English ivy, a kind of rust-belted version that must surely say swing state if ever a weed did. I don't know the answer to these questions, just as I didn't know about all the varieties of hawkweed until I found them on the list. There are at least seven. In fact, I can't decide which name I prefer best. Mouse ear hawkweed, queen devil hawkweed, or hawkweed ox tongue. Well, so long as I don't have to remove them from my backyard, they all sound fine to me. Thank you. How about the band?